Good afternoon, listeners. My name is Rebecca Van Ness. I'm the host of today's Healthy Community. And today's Healthy Community aims to improve health literacy by offering resources and information that strengthens and supports the wellness of individuals, families, and the communities in which we live and you live. And our show airs Fridays from 12 to 12:30 p.m. Today we have a wonderful guest, Dr. David Friedman, who's come to talk to us about skin cancer and melanoma. And Dr. Friedman was born in New York. He did his undergrad graduate medical school at Tufts University in Boston. He did his residency in San Francisco in the Bay Area and his final year of residency at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. Dr. Friedman has been a general surgeon since 1998 and has been engaged with both the military and Indian services groups, as well as civilian practice in Boston and around New Mexico. Dr. Friedman has been here in the Land of Enchantment for 16 years now. So melanoma and skin cancer is pretty serious stuff. The World Health Organization estimates that around 60,000 early deaths occur each year worldwide because of excessive exposure to sun and the ultraviolet radiation it creates. An estimated 48,000 of these deaths are from malignant melanoma. And there are a lot of myths surrounding melanoma, and so we're going to play some trivia today. And Dr. Friedman is going to answer some questions for me. There are many myths, and I was just going to bring up a few of them, and maybe you could sort of set us straight on it. Myth number one, I don't need to worry about all the little spots on my skin.
Well, that is true. There are spots and there are spots. If you have something that changes or is new, and as we're going to talk about the A, B, C, D, E of melanomas, you should bring it to medical attention.
That sounds like a time to check in with your reason to check in with your primary care doctor and your doctor regularly.
And hopefully he or she will send you to a dermatologist or a general surgeon who specializes in skin surgery.
Absolutely. Myth number two, if I avoid the sun, I won't get skin cancer.
Well, that's not true, and especially the myth that goes along with that, if I use sunscreen, then I won't be able to get any sort of skin cancer. Skin cancer is a lifelong process, and often we, as our generation, have bathed in the sun. I remember reflectors and so forth, and the damage is cumulative. So any kind of sun damage, sunburn, especially at a young age, can produce problems much later in life.
And I would imagine those of us with fair skin and fair hair may be a little higher at risk, too.
Yes, that's an interesting observation. There are actually six types of skin called Fitzpatrick skin types, going from one, which are people who are very fair, who never tan, only burn, to type six, which is basically people of color who are dark-skinned. But it's very important to know that even people of color can get a type of melanoma called acral lentiginous, which are actually melanomas of the digits of the toes. And unfortunately, Bob Marley, who most people know, who was Caribbean, actually died of melanoma.
Wow, I didn't know that. So you're going to explain all this as we go along, all these big words and what this means, right?
We just have to talk fast. We have half an hour to cover a big topic.
Oh, it is a big topic. We may have to have you on for a second episode. So it's just skin cancer, I'll be okay. What can you speak to that?
Well, there are actually three types of skin cancer. There's what's called a squamous cell skin cancer and basal cell skin cancer. Both of these are somewhat benign, though basal cell is more benign than squamous cell. Squamous cell can metastasize. And then there is the pigmented type of skin cancer called melanoma, which can be fatal if not removed early. Mm-hmm. So most people who have an area that doesn't heal, that's not pigmented, should see a doctor, and this can be frozen frozen, excised, treated with medications such as Effudex and so forth, and this can be treated successfully. However, melanomas, which are the pigmented skin cancers, have to be removed surgically.
So last couple myths, people with dark skin, you address this a bit, don't get skin cancer. That's not true, obviously.
They have more protection, but it does occur in any type of skin. Unfortunately, light-skinned people have a much greater proclivity towards ultraviolet radiation. Let me ask you a question. Where do you think the highest incidence of melanoma is in the world?
Would it be in areas where there's intense, constant sun?
Sun is the first aspect, and then the skin type. Now, Australia and New Zealand and South Africa were colonized by light-skinned Europeans in the 18th and 19th century. So New Zealand actually leads the world in the incidence of melanoma, with people from English, Irish, European extraction basically colonizing Australia. So they have rules, no sunbathing, public beaches are closed at midday, and so forth.
Wow.
Now, the same thing is with us in the Southwest. Light-skinned people are exposed to, as they say in all the tourist brochures, over 300 days of sunlight. We're at a high altitude. So the Southwest is another hot spot for melanoma.
Yeah, Texas. The sun does get more intense at higher altitude as well.
Yes, this whole belt from Texas all the way to Southern California has a very high incidence of melanoma, and we're right in it.
One of the last myths, or the last myth that I'd like to debunk, is we used to sunbathe often. However, I've taken good care of my skin in recent years, so that means that I won't end up with skin cancer.
Right. And just remember, it's cumulative, and even though sunscreen is good to use, sunscreen only affords limited protection.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the risk factors for melanoma. I know overexposure to sun is one of them, but can you talk to us about maybe lifestyle and geographic location? I mean, there's so many things that must affect your risk of skin cancer.
Well, that's true. Family history is another factor. There are families who have a propensity to melanoma. It's also lifestyle. If your light-skinned siblings and cousins play out in the sun and you join them, of course, you're part of that family. So number one, family history. Number two, the type of moles you have. Now, melanoma is a pigmented skin cancer. It's a cancer of pigment or melanoma cells. They're in the skin. They're actually related to nerve cells. So unfortunately, you actually can get melanoma in areas that do not have sun exposure.
Is that where metastasis?
No, this is primary melanoma.
Oh.
Primary melanoma can occur in weird places. It can occur in the iris of the eye. It can actually occur in the perianal skin. So when you go for a skin check, you have to make sure that whoever's doing it actually checks the entire body.
Uh-huh.
Now, the big question is that of pre-existing moles. It turns out that 30% of melanomas arise in pre-existing moles that change. And we're going to have to talk about what to look for. 70% arise what we call de novo, just spontaneously. So any mole that looks weird changes, and we're going to talk about this at length. And if you come away with anything, just come away with what to look for in terms of moles.
Mm-hmm. I imagine they're different colors and shapes, and they react differently. And
that's exactly right. You read the material already, Rebecca.
I try to be a good student.
Right.
So let's talk about when you talk about what melanoma is. I know that there's different stages, and perhaps you can talk to us, since we really need to help people understand what to look for and maybe how to keep an eye on things. The different stages of melanoma and skin cancer ranges greatly, and can you tell us a little bit more about that?
In squamous cell and basal cell skin cancer, it's basically confined to the skin most of the time, and what has to be done is all these cells just have to be removed or destroyed. So they're usually cut out. The unfortunate thing about melanoma is that it has a high propensity to metastasize, and the thicker it is in terms of depth of invasion. Now, this depth is measured in millimeters. And basically, we say that a thin melanoma is up to 0.75 millimeters. An intermediate melanoma is 0.75 millimeters to either 2 or 3 millimeters. And what's called a thick melanoma is something greater than 3 millimeters. So it's very important when you see your dermatologist and he or she finds a suspicious lesion, the first thing that's going to be done is a biopsy just to ascertain the thickness of the melanoma. At that point, the surgeon who is going to take over has to decide with the patient whether or not this is thick enough to do what we call a lymph node dissection, which is very much like in breast cancer. Melanomas tend to progress sequentially. So it's from the skin to the surrounding what we call lymph node basin. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's on the arms and legs, the lymph node basin is either going to be in the groin or the armpit. Mm-hmm. So if it's what we call an intermediate or thicker melanoma, in addition to excising the melanoma completely so the margins are clear, the surgeon will also do what's called a sentinel lymph node, which means that you inject a radioactive tracer and some dye, and you look for the first lymph node in that chain, and then you take it out, and you look whether or not they're spread. If there's spread, then all the lymph nodes in that area are removed to prevent the cells from traveling.
That makes sense. We have to keep track of it. So we've talked about the different stages. I think we're down to probably maybe different types of melanoma. I know that we can start this conversation. We're going to have to take a quick break here in just a moment. But can you just tell me briefly about superficial spreading melanoma? You said that was the most common?
That's the most common melanoma. It's basically a spot that grows that's usually pigmented. Superficial spreading and nodular melanoma. The others are what we get as older citizens, which is called lentigo maligna, which is really a brown spot usually on the face. And then the fourth type, which is called acralentiginous, which are on the hands, feet underneath the nail beds and so forth. I think I'll stop so we can take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. Thank you, Dr. Friedman. Welcome back to today's Healthy Community. Thank you for joining us today. We have the pleasure of having Dr. David Friedman, a surgeon here in Silver City, and he's talking to us about skin cancer, skin care, and various types of melanoma. He went over a few of the details. There's so much to talk about on this topic, and it's so important for those of us who live in a beautiful, sunny area with great climate and high altitude, but we also have to be mindful of protecting our skin. So, Dr. Friedman, talk to me a little bit about some of the causes, symptoms and causes of skin cancer.
Well, the main thing is ultraviolet A radiation that causes changes in the DNA of the cells, melanocytes. So really, if you want a cause, it's ultraviolet A radiation damage.
Is that one of the reasons why tanning beds have been determined to be maybe not as great as were originally advertised?
Yes. At the risk of sounding arbitrary, most people who work in skin diseases feel that tanning beds should be severely regulated and, in fact, close to being banned.
Yeah. So go on a little bit about the causes of skin cancer.
Well, if this is you, then have a high index of suspicion. Do you have high freckle density or a tendency to burn or develop freckles after sun exposure? Also, do you have a high number of moles? Most people have about 10 to 15 moles. If you have 20 or 30 moles, especially if these moles are irregular, these moles need to be checked. What you can do is have your partner or primary care doctor either photograph them or check them periodically. If you were born with a giant brown mole, this should be followed. Sometimes they're excised. If you have light-colored eyes, light skin, light eyes, green, gray eyes, blue eyes. If you have red hair or light-colored hair. If you've had a long history of sun exposure, either as a child or occupationally. Most people, as we're talking about, as they age, have a higher incidence of skin cancer because the sun damage is cumulative. And one interesting thing, if you've had an organ transplant or if you are under some means of immunosuppression, this could also give rise to skin cancers.
Going back to that last, second to the last point, you were talking about elderly folks, you know, as we age, skin cancer and melanoma being cumulative. I've noticed, at least in my family and people that I know, they've commented that their skin gets thinner as they get older. Does that also exacerbate or enhance the possibility? Does the type of skin, the condition of your skin, have a lot to do with a higher risk or no?
Not really. The thinning as you get older is really less deposition of collagen, less turnover, and so forth. That's fortunately one of the things that's not a risk for melanoma.
Okay, great, great.
So let's talk about exactly what to look for. And there's a very easy way of remembering this. It's called A, B, C, D, E. Now, we're talking about moles or skin lesions. A stands for asymmetry. Most moles are symmetrical, and the color in the mole is also symmetrical. We don't want to see a mole that's dark and light and maybe what we call geographic, meaning that the edges look like a map or some country on a map. So asymmetry goes into border. We want a regular round border. We don't want to have an irregular border. Color. We want moles to be brown. We don't want them to be black. We don't want them to be red. We don't want them to be blue. Diameter is very important. We usually say that anything that's larger than the head of a pencil or a pencil eraser should be brought to a doctor or somebody's attention. And the main thing for E is evolving. A change in a mole's appearance. Does it itch? Does it bleed? Has it grown in size? That's really one of those tip-offs. So once again, A, B, C, D, E. A stands for asymmetry. B stands for border. C stands for color. D stands for diameter. And E stands for evolving.
And going back to this, I'm sure this is information that you can find online, maybe American Medical Association or one of the other scholarly kind of websites where people can read more about skin cancer and see pictures.
Yes, pictures are very important. And the American Cancer Society, there's a wealth of information online. So what I'm going to leave everybody with is stay out of the sun. Number two, watch your moles. And number three, be vigilant about anything that changes or shows these A, B, C, D, E. The reason that we're talking about melanoma is if it's thin, it's curable with surgery. If it's thick, there really isn't very good treatment after surgery. Mm-hmm. There are some forms of chemotherapy, and now there's immunotherapy, but it's really only effective in about 15% of patients. So surgery, early detection and surgical removal is the key to treating melanoma.
Well, when you were talking about surgery, removing it, excising it, I think you called it, and you talked about clean margins, having had a little experience in having to have a procedure, I know that clean margins are important. And in layman's terms, can you explain what clean margins might be and what what the result of a clean lymph gland might be in regards to understanding the complexity of this particular person's condition?
A clean margin means exactly that, that a dermatologist will usually take a small biopsy and then refer the patient to a surgeon for a complete excision. Mm-hmm. And these are 1 to 2 centimeter excisions, about an inch around the actual melanoma. Sometimes we just excise the scar and all we find is scar. But the point is, we don't want to see any cells that are in transit. So the pathologist will examine the entire specimen to make sure that there are no cells there. And like any other cancer, we want to make sure, like breast cancer, that there are no malignant cells.
You want to make sure you get it all.
Right. That's exactly right. Rarely we have to do a skin graft. And this is serious stuff. Sometimes we actually have to do an amputation of a digit. If you have a melanoma in a fingernail, sometimes we have to go to the joint below the fingernail in order to get a clean margin. It mm-hmm. all depends where it is anatomically. So that's the first stage surgically, is to take it all out with no cells left in the skin. The second stage is to make sure that there are no cells in transit in the lymph nodes.
Because that would be kind of the highway of the body system, and you don't want it to get past, you don't want it to take an off-ramp to another part of your body.
That's a very good way of describing it.
Yeah. I drive a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. So we were talking about the symptoms, some of the causes, and again, going to the American Cancer Society, having talked to some guests previously in the last couple episodes about research and about the National Institute of Health and their support of research, I would imagine that there's a whole host of research studies going on in regards to skin cancer because it's so prevalent.
That is true. Melanoma is a very deadly cancer. It really, the fatality of melanoma pales in comparison to other cancers, breast cancer, colon cancer, and lung cancer. The problem is that if it's not caught in time, it's pretty uniformly fatal.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be fatal in the younger population.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really, as I said before, have a lot in our armamentarium other than surgery. Now, there's a lot of research now with inoculations and immunotherapy. And in some cases, it's proven to be miraculous. But for now, a lot of these are on protocol still. And the routine chemotherapy is given, but it's really not that efficacious. Surgery is the key, early detection, and surgery is the key in treating melanoma.
Which means working with your healthcare team and seeing your doctor and your specialist on a regular basis.
In fact, people often say that somebody stopped me in the street and pointed to a mole and said, you ought to see your doctor about that.
People are becoming more aware of it.
Very much so.
I think it may even be like breast cancer, the self-examination. It was something
right.
that nobody really thought about. And now as mm-hmm. as we move forward over the years, people are embracing the information that yeah. they receive.
There's a wonderful story that a man's daughter was a nursing student, and she came home, and they went to the beach. And she said, Dad, you really ought to get that looked at. And he did, and we took off an early melanoma.
Oh, good for him.
Yes.
Good for her for noticing.
Right.
Yeah, it's great to have these discussions, and I feel this is such a wonderful opportunity to share the expertise of all of these healthcare providers and professionals so that people can talk with their families, talk with their neighbors, talk with their own primary care provider, another physician that they may work with, and ask questions, because the more we know, the better off, the better the odds are that we can take better care of ourselves and be a healthier community. So that's wonderful. I know you talked about some of the treatments. Let's talk about some of the preventions, some things that we can proactively do for ourselves and for our loved ones, or encourage them to do to help prevent skin cancer and have healthy skin.
Avoid tanning booths. That's very important, especially people in their teenage years.
Yes.
The damage that the tanning booth occurs 60, 50 years later. So I don't have any stock in tanning booths, but I really feel that from a public health point of view, a tanning booth is not a good thing in terms of what it does to your skin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Keep your children well covered. And really try to avoid blistering sunburns for everybody.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of children, a lot of adults for that matter, are now wearing really thin kind of fabric shirts over their bathing mm-hmm. clothes when they're at the beach. And I understand that they help protect folks from UV
right.
light.
Right.
So
right.
Sunglasses, hats, that kind of thing.
And the other thing is to be vigilant. As I said, look for those moles that are changing and bring it to somebody's attention.
Mm-hmm. And using sunscreen, I know that you said that there are maybe a limited kind of regimen that you might have, but it does offer some help, does it not?
It offers protection, but not false assurance.
Okay.
So it's better than...
So be optimistic, but cautious, and you keep using sunscreen?
Something along those lines. Don't feel that you're invincible in terms of your skin just because you slather on some sunscreen and spend the next 12 hours in hot sun.
Yeah, and certain parts of your body, as you pointed out, may respond to sun and be maybe a little more sensitive or fragile, like the tops of the ears and the head and around the face and digits, things like that that you wouldn't necessarily think of.
Yeah, I think it's important for everyone to do a personal risk assessment. Mm-hmm. What is your skin type? What is your ethnicity or genetic heritage and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
And what is your lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you put all those together, you have a sense of where you stand in terms of melanoma.
So when you talk about being careful to use sunscreen and the right protections in regards to the clothes, avoiding sunburns, tanning beds, I know you brought up, protecting children, keeping them shaded. Children, you said, young people have more sensitive skin. And I would imagine young children and infants, you certainly would not want to expose them to long periods of time in the sun.
Yes, that's true. But it's really, I think, the teenage years. Because that's where people are very active, they're on the beach midday and so forth, and they just lose track of time.
Oh, I've done it many times.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Several, yeah, lots of sunburns. I just wanted to make one more comment. You had said something about vitamin D, and then we're going to have to sort of wrap this up for the next episode. Do you have anything you wanted to mention about that? I heard it can be very healthful.
Well, don't think the sun is your enemy. We do need sunlight. We do need to manufacture vitamin D. But I think the take home is that personal risk assessment and then the ABCDE of moles.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. And you can find out more on the American Cancer Society website about...
Well, not really the American Cancer, any kind, just Google melanoma, and there's a wealth of information out there.
Thank you so much. I think this has been really great. Thank you for joining us, listeners, today. Today's Healthy Community was produced by Justin Blanton. You can visit us on our website, Today's Healthy Community. Send us comments as we build that Facebook page. We really want to hear from you. And until next time, everybody stay healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.